where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and meaning by embracing our divine essence. And we have Helena Nista on the show today. She is a mentor, an author, a speaker, and a lover. She's a certified sexologist and a tantric teacher, and she's written a book called Legendary Lover with 6 steps to making sex both profound and ecstatic. And I'm so excited to be able to speak with her today so that we can talk about how we can become legendary lovers. I mean, who doesn't want sex that is both profound and ecstatic? Welcome, Helena. It's so wonderful to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be here.
Oh, my friend said to me today, you were excited for your podcast. And I was like, it's about sex. Yes, I am.
It's going to be full of juicy, beautiful goodies.
Yes. And I'm really excited for that. So can you tell us how, like, okay, so I need to say, the second time I ever had sex, the first time kind of hurts. It's not like it's awkward and it kind of hurts. The second time I ever had sex, I was like, I just found a hobby, and I have felt that way ever since. And that was when I was 18. And everyone says that you should make your hobby into something that you get paid for. And I thought that the only way that was going to happen is if I became a prostitute. So I wasn't really up for that in this lifetime. But you've managed to make sex and talking about juicy stuff like this into your work. Can you tell me how this all started? How did you become a sexologist, my love?
Yeah. Well, sex really wasn't my hobby at all. For many, many years of my life, sex was something really I didn't enjoy at all, actually. It was painful. It was uncomfortable. I didn't enjoy it. I experienced barely any pleasure during sex. I forget about any orgasms. I just never experienced those. So it was a different experience for me. And because sex was actually so bad and such a poor experience for me, I eventually decided I needed to change things. I actually had quite a traumatic experience where I ended up in an emergency room because of a sexual experience. And I just thought, okay, this is getting worse and worse. I can't keep having sex this way. I need to do something about it.
Okay, so you're gonna have to tell us now what happened and why did you end up in an emergency room?
Yeah. So I was with my long-term partner. We were together for 3.5 years all up, and I was crazy in love with him and he was crazy about me. So we decided to have a baby. So we were having a lot of sex, but the sex wasn't great. Like I said, it was painful and uncomfortable mostly. And one day we were playing with the reversed cowgirl position, which is like the woman on top, but her back to her partner. So it's a nice position, but the problem is it involves quite a deep penetration. And I have so my partner basically was penetrating me very deeply and hit a muscle in my bladder, which went into spasm, and I didn't know about that. It just what I experienced was this excruciating pain that just kept exploding. Like my whole pelvis was exploding with pain again and again and again. So I called him because he had already gotten up at that stage, and I called him back to bed and I was like, you have to like take me to a hospital or call an ambulance, or we have to do something. This is something really, really bad is happening. So so he said that an ambulance could take an hour, but you know, an emergency room was about 5 minutes drive away. And I thought, like, how am I supposed to get myself out of the car if I can't even walk? I couldn't even get up. I was in so much pain. So I eventually crawled out of bed and on all fours, I crawled to my wardrobe and I managed to put some clothes on, and then I crawled out of the car. He helped me out of the car and he brought me to the emergency room, and yeah, and they helped me. So they, you know, I still had no idea what was actually happening, but they moved fairly quickly. They gave me very strong muscle relaxants, and within probably an hour it was over. But it was one of the most scary experiences of my life, because I actually thought I was either going to die or I would never be able to have sex again. I just knew something was really, really terribly wrong with me. So on the way back from the hospital, I was thinking, oh my God, we're still trying to get pregnant. How, you know, which actually never really happened in the end, but how am I supposed to have sex ever again, knowing that I might end up in so much pain, I might end up in an emergency room. So that's why I thought, okay, I need to change something dramatically in my life about this sex stuff, because it just wasn't working. I obviously wasn't getting sex. I was not good at it. My partner wasn't good at it. We just weren't having, you know, or previously, you know, I didn't really have any good sex either. So I thought I might be the problem, and maybe I need education about sex. So that was that trigger for me. When I thought, okay, now I need to learn.
So then did you go to a book, or like, where do you start? Where do you even begin to learn about sex?
Yeah, well, I went to the internet.
Of course, Google has all of the answers.
Google. I started, well, I remember this word tantra. And I didn't really know what it meant by then, but I remember hearing something about some extraordinary sexual experiences related to tantra. So I thought, okay, let's try. Like, I had no other ideas where to go, where to turn. Like, who would teach me about good sex? Like, what books was I going to read? I had absolutely no idea. So I Googled tantra and I found a local tantra practitioner who was running an introductory evening. Mm-hmm. Like a 3-hour workshop. So I went there with my partner and I was mesmerized. I was absolutely in love. I didn't even understand half the things she was talking about, these polarities and energies and grounding in the body and being present, etc. I didn't really fully get everything she was talking about, but I knew that I found something really, really special and something really, really profound. And I felt like I was home after all these years, after about, you know, more than 10 years of sexual despair and frustration and pain and discomfort, etc. I felt like, oh my God, Tantra has got the answers. I'm going to learn. So since that first tantric workshop, I went to a lot of different tantric training events, and I read a lot of books, and I saw different practitioners, and I kept practicing as well. So my own practice was very, very important in my progress, and I had amazing tantric lovers that really, really helped me. But once I became a practitioner, once I did a practitioner training, I started teaching tantra, and my journey with my clients was really, really profound, because they, as they were opening up to me about their experiences, that was an amazing source of knowledge and insight for me as well. So I guess everything just coming together, and because I just threw myself into tantra 100%, I didn't want to do anything else. I just wanted to do tantra and be a tantra practitioner, because it was just so powerful for me. I had a very, very powerful journey over the sort of 2 years from when I first heard the word tantra from that accident to 2 years later when I was, which is now it's like 3 years later. But the 2 years was really the time of healing and learning and, connecting, reconnecting with my sexual self that was really neglected for many years.
So may I please share a little bit about what I've seen your life is like now? Like, you and I have been to a tantra workshop together. Am I able to share that?
Yeah. Sure, go for it.
So I would like to now vouch for Helena because I have seen her lie on the ground and do a tantra practice by herself and writhe in orgasmic bliss, like just no touching, like just moving her body and breathing, and she has been in waves of ecstasy and bliss. So obviously you figured something out in the meantime.
Definitely.
And turned on, and so was everyone else in the room, I'm sure. So thank you for that.
I love that.
Yeah, so good. So we've had Eyal Matsuya talk about tantra pleasure with us before. And tantra to me is this, there's lots of different versions of what people think tantra is. I'd love to hear what's your definition of tantra, because I've heard it's not just sex, right?
Exactly, yeah. There's so many different ways to describe tantra. For me, it's a way of being. It's a way of living my life where I embrace every aspect of my life with full presence and mindfulness. And I really love introducing that very sacred, celebratory sort of approach to every aspect of life. So this is what Tantra says. Your life is sacred. Every aspect of your life is sacred and deserves your full attention, your full mindfulness, you know. So that means celebrating, having a cup of coffee. And really bringing your full mindfulness and awareness and presence into the experience of that cup of coffee, or you know, taking in the flavor, the look, the way your body feels when you're ingesting, when you're swallowing that coffee, when you're taking it in. In the same way, Tantra celebrates sexuality, and this is where we think that Tantra is all about sexuality because we've been so repressed sexually for so many years. We've had the Victorian era and Catholic Church has been really suppressing us, telling us how sinful it is to have sex and which is not for procreation. And so we've been really, really repressed sexually. And now finally we're, you know, suddenly learning that there is this Tantra philosophy that tells us, oh, actually sex is sacred and beautiful. It's like every aspect of your life. It's beautiful, it's natural, and it's healthy, and you should enjoy it. So I find that this tantric approach to sex is really, really very healing for us because we finally feel the truth of that, yeah, of that celebratory approach, of the fact that, yes, sex is beautiful and it is natural and it is healthy and we have the right to enjoy it. We don't have to repress it and feel all this shame and guilt around our sexuality and our sexual desires and sexual pleasure that we experience and that we crave in our lives. This is what Tantra is for me.
Yeah, that is such a beautiful definition. I know that I set the intention at the start of the week. I always do on the sacred intention setting ritual in the Lightworkers Rising Facebook group. And my intention for this week was sacred. I wanted to feel sacred. And so it really resonates with me to treat every experience, every mouthful that I have, every conversation, every walk in nature, every breath as sacred. And it's challenging, but I feel more alive when I do treat it in that way. So is that why so many tantric people, they like hug you for way too long? Like it's kind of awkward how long they hug you. Staring to your eyes like a little bit too long.
Is that your experience with tantra people?
A lot of personal development people, yeah. A lot of personal spiritual development.
There is such a thing as a tantric hug, which does go on for a little bit longer than a usual hug. And so what you do is instead of hugging this way person, so touching, sort of pressing them towards your right shoulder, you actually hug them this way so that your heart touches their heart. Okay. And then you take three deep breaths together. So it's just a sort of more of a ritualistic way to have a hug. Because whenever you create a little bit of a ritual around anything you do, give a hug, give a kiss, have sex, have a cup of coffee, that's how you celebrate it. That's how you create this beautiful, sacred approach to everything you're doing. And that's why Tantra is so beautiful, because it gives us different rituals. So yeah, you might find that some people hug you for a little bit. Tantra people will hug you for a little bit longer or look into your eyes, you know, a bit more deeply. Because that's what we do in Tantra. We we use rituals. Yeah.
So if they go beyond three, then I can be like, okay, buddy, back up. Beyond three breaths. No, I love that.
Well, as soon as you feel like your any sort of your boundaries are being crossed, you should protect your body. So if you feel like, okay, I'm not enjoying this hug anymore, I was fine for 1 or 2 seconds, maybe 3 seconds, now I'm not enjoying this, you have a full right to treat your body as a temple and say, okay, my body is not up for this anymore and I need some space. So I enjoy this hug and thank you for that, but I need you to back off now.
I love that. Thank you, gorgeous. Yeah. All right, I am so excited to dive into the 6 steps of the legendary lover. We're not usually as structured as that on this podcast, but I've heard Helena's 6 steps and I am really excited to share them with you. So can you tell us about them, please? What's step number one?
Yes. Step number one is learn your erotic profile. So this is when I dive deeply with a client into their erotic mind, into their fantasies and what they choose as porn they use and why and what turns them on and what are their most intense peak erotic experiences in life and what they can learn from them, how to use that knowledge for more nurturing, for more ecstatic experiences in their sex lives. So this is all about also going into where they might be limiting themselves in their sexual experience, because if there's any embarrassment or shame or guilt in their mind about their sex lives and about their pleasure, this will limit, you know, anybody's sexual expression and experience. So this is why it's so important to be aware of what's happening. Because our early experiences will have, you know, our early experiences in life when we're children, our early experiences with our parents and our first caregivers can really affect the way we experience sexuality, the way we experience touch and closeness and intimacy and pleasure. So we might be limiting ourselves, not even realizing that there's a problem or where the problem is coming from, because well, you were a child when that pattern was created in your life. So how would you know? You know, any better? You might have a feeling that, you know, you're quite frustrated, maybe, you know, you're not enjoying a particular type of touch and you don't quite know why, or certain type of people just, you know, freak you out, or you crave closeness, but then you create closeness and intimacy with someone and then you experience fear and panic and you just withdraw and push away and you don't know again where that's coming from and how to fix it. So having an awareness and understanding what is actually happening in your erotic mind and how your erotic mind works, what turns you on, what limits you, where you can find more pleasure, more arousal, more excitement, is a great tool in diving much deeper into our sexual potential.
Awesome. So do you have maybe 3 questions that people could ask themselves and journal about at home to really start to explore that?
Okay. I think firstly, we should ask what have been your peak erotic experiences in life? Like if you remember your most intense, ecstatic, blissful, pleasurable experiences in sex, what was it that was particular about them and different to your other experiences? Was it that there was, you know, maybe, you know, a certain level of novelty involved, a new lover or a new surroundings, new game, new, you know, new activity, or maybe there was just something really, really, you know, exciting that you don't even know where it's coming from, but it actually turned you on, certain particular type of touch, etc. So identifying those peak erotic experiences and sort of analyzing them, what was it about them? Why they worked for you so well, so that this knowledge can be used for a future exploration. Sure. Exploration. Second of all, I would ask, how are your sexual relationships right now? Are you, you know, obviously if you're seeking help, then there might be areas where you're not satisfied. So where are those areas? What exactly are you not satisfied about? Is it just identifying areas of, you know, potential problems that they might, you know, there might be areas where you might need some healing in terms of your sexuality. So looking at that would be quite important as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good. They seem like the two questions, and maybe a third isn't necessary in there.
This would be quite profound already in diving deeper into that erotic mind. Yeah, definitely.
Beautiful. Yeah. And then step number two.
Yes. Step number two is about embodiment. It's called engage your body and breath. And this is all about, first of all, resensitizing the body. In our society, we usually don't feel our bodies. We are very much in the mind, not really connected to the body. And so we usually only really feel our bodies when we start to experience pain.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's a problem. We should be able to be much more sensitive and feel much more sensation, aliveness, pleasure in our bodies. And second of all, this step explores the breath. The breath is an amazing function in a way that it doesn't require conscious control. You will keep breathing whether you're aware of it or not, whether you control it or not. When you fall asleep, you're still gonna keep breathing. So it's like heartbeat or digestion. It's gonna keep going. Your subconscious mind is going to take care of that. However, unlike heartbeat or digestion, you can consciously control your breath. And that's an amazing thing about it, because you can use your breath to put your body in different states of feeling, of being, of sensing. You can, you know, you can energize your body with a, you know, particular kind of breath or a breathing technique. You can calm your body down. You can spread excitement and pleasure through your body. You can bring yourself to a full body orgasm using breath. You can do a lot of different things mm-hmm. with your breath. So this is where I teach my clients how to use the breath consciously in order to create their sexual experiences, and also how to resensitize the body, how to bring more sensation into the body for more deep and profound and blissful erotic experiences.
So resensitizing, is that through the breath, or are there other ways to do that as well?
So there are the other ways. So I would say mainly one of the best tools to resensitize the body is a body scan, which is a form of meditation where you place very conscious awareness on each part of your body and you stay with that part of your body for a few moments. So for example, you go, okay, I'm really feeling my toes right now. So, you know, you close your eyes, you take a few deep breaths to really calm your mind, and then you're going to really start sensing and feeling your toes, noticing what it feels like to have toes. Then after a few months, you're going to move on to your feet, really feeling, sensing your feet. So what you're looking for is that sense of aliveness, of any sensation. Some people will start to experience tingles and shivers. Some people start to feel the blood flowing through their veins. Some people start to feel vibrations. Some people feel nothing, you know, initially, and then they start to experience little bits. Oh yeah, here, yeah, okay, maybe I feel a little bit. Then next time they feel a little bit more, etc. So this way you're gonna keep going through your ankles, through your calves, your knees, your thighs, your genitals, buttocks, belly, etc. Working your way all the way up, you know, from your feet all the way up to the top of the head. Stopping for a few moments with each body part and really feeling, noticing any sensations, really sensing what you can experience in that body part. This can be, you know, this can take as little as 5 minutes. It can take 30 minutes, this kind of a body scan. If you do this every day, even 5 minutes every day, you're going to start seeing results within 2 weeks in terms of just more aliveness in your body, in terms of more sensation in your body. And just, you know, the thing is, and this is something we're not aware of, our bodies are naturally ecstatic. We should feel ecstatic pleasure in our bodies just like that, naturally, without even being touched in any way. But we are so disconnected through, you know, variety of reasons. We're so disconnected from our bodies that we do not experience that we are this neck up society. We are so stuck in the mind, in the head. We're thinking, we're analyzing, we're making decisions, we're taking care of to-do lists, we're planning, etc. But we're not really feeling. And the thing is, so there's this thinking mind and the feeling body, and we glorify the thinking mind and we disconnect from the feeling body, whereas both are equally important. But this is something that happens to us from very early age. You know, when you just remember when you were sitting in school at, you know, at your desk at, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, thinking, I don't really want to be here. Like, my body wants to run and play, and I want to jump and kick ball, and I want to do whatever other things. And yet you had to listen to the thinking mind and say to yourself, okay, I have to be here. I have to memorize. I have to study. I have to pass tests, etc. So you were sort of suppressing that felt sense of your body and suppressing the desires of your body in order to follow the thinking mind. And then over the years, you're so, you know, you're constantly rewarded for being in the thinking mind, for, you know, for passing your exams and for, you know, being good thinker. And yeah, you just, yeah, we disconnect from the body.
Yeah.
So this is where
and that's why we then end up spending so much time, like sex can be so much a wing kiss, and then we go straight to the genitals and that's about it, and we forget that the rest of the body exists. And for me, it's like the whole body is a temple, and you need to like warm up to be able to be anywhere near that yoni. So I'm really glad that you did that. It's one of the things that I've realized. I think I had a profound moment of realizing it last year, that I wasn't, I didn't need to do anything to be happy. I didn't need to do anything to feel bliss. I actually just needed to stop doing all of the things that were blocking the happiness and the fulfillment and the joy and the bliss that was already inside of my body and a natural state of my being. So I love this technique that you've just
talked about. That's amazing. Yeah.
So then a breath exercise, because you mentioned full body orgasms, and I'm going to have to ask, or everyone who listens to the podcast will probably send me hate mail. So you need to talk about full body orgasms. How does that happen? What breathing technique do we have to do? Because we'll do it.
Okay. Great. Very happy to teach that. There are a few techniques, breathing techniques that can be helpful. I'd say the most helpful one, and the one I use most consistently, is actually a Taoist technique called the Big Draw. Sorry, I'm thinking about the microcosmic orbit. Okay, so both are really good, Big Draw and the microcosmic orbit. I'm going to start with the microcosmic orbit because this one is simpler and effective throughout the experience. And this is the one definitely that everybody should start with. Yeah. So what microcosmic orbit is, it's a combination of breath and visualization. And also we can add to it muscle work to make it even more effective and efficient. Yeah. So basically what happens is, as you're breathing in, you're going to breathe. So the breathing should be deep abdominal breathing. So you should be breathing deeply into your belly. And as you're breathing in, you're going to visualize your energy flowing from your perineum up the spine. So this is in your genital area. So from your genital area up the spine, the back of your body, all the way up the top of the head. And then as you're exhaling, you're going to visualize that energy flowing down the front of your body, all the way down to your perineum again. So you're basically creating a circle, an orbit of energy as you're visualizing it flowing up the back of the spine on the inhale, and then exhaling and visualizing that flow flowing all the way down the front of the body. What you can add to this is a muscle work. So on the inhale, it is helpful to add a Kegel or a PC muscle squeeze. PC muscle is the muscle that we squeeze when we want to stop the stream of urine midstream. So PC muscle is very helpful with this work because it acts like a pump of sexual energy. So as you're inhaling and squeezing the PC muscle and visualizing that upward flow of energy, that PC muscle is going to literally pump your energy up through your body, giving you a more intense experience. And then you relax that PC muscle on the exhale.
So is it one squeeze, you hold the squeeze the entire time you inhale, or you squeeze consistently, or you squeeze once and then you just keep breathing?
So you squeeze as you're inhaling. So as you're going on with the inhale, you're going to keep the squeeze.
Okay.
Unless the muscle is not terribly strong, in which way you can maybe let go halfway through your inhale, because this is a muscle that we rarely use. So for some people it's not very strong, which also it's actually very beneficial to strengthen that PC muscle through daily squeezes, just squeezing it and releasing. I usually do it in the car.
You're gonna walk through the forest doing it.
You can do it anytime, anywhere. Yeah. But I find that in the car it's such a great place to be, because you're just driving, you can do your PC squeezes, nobody knows what you're doing, and you're just strengthening that PC muscle. Yeah. And it's such an important muscle. It's important for both men and women, and for men it actually gives men more control over their erection, strengthens their erections, gives them more control and ability to last longer. And also for both sexes, that PC muscle is important for the overall sensation of pleasure and depth of pleasure in their genitals. So it's also very beneficial from the health perspective, you know, because that muscle does support all the organs in the pelvic bowl, supports the bladder. So we should basically be squeezing our PC muscle every day for the rest of our lives.
Okay, good.
It's a very beneficial practice.
And when we do the inhale and the exhale, the visualization is the energy or breath, or however you like to call it, is that inside of our body or just outside of our body?
I visualize it just outside, so sort of flowing. That's a good question. Okay. I would say it's kind of
in and out.
How can I have out? What I feel in my body as I do it, I'm just pulling that energy up my spine. So it's kind of, it's a little bit more in than out. But it's kind of on the surface, because it flows up on that out, the back part of my body. And then when it flows back, I visualize it kind of inside, outside, but definitely flowing down my body as well. So these things for me are a felt experience. I sense them in my body, so it's sometimes a little tricky for me to verbalize how it feels. But what I do is I just pull that energy up with my mind, with my visualization, pull it all the way up back of my spine. And then bring it down the front. So whether somebody experiences it outside of the body or just inside of the body doesn't really make a difference, because you are moving energy, and that's really what this breath is about. So when this technique is used during sex or during self-pleasuring, what you're doing is you're actually moving that arousal from your genitals all the way up through your body, allowing it to circle through the body instead of just staying in the genital area. Because if you just keep arousal in the genital area, you're going to have a very genitally based experience, orgasmic experience. Whereas when you start that flow, that circle of energy happening, flowing through your whole body, you're going to start experiencing sexual pleasure and arousal with your entire body. So at first people usually sense tingles and shivers spreading out through their bodies. As they do it more consistently, they get better at doing it, and so they start to experience more intense feelings like waves of ecstatic, blissful energy and pleasure flowing through their bodies. So if this is applied consistently, if you train your body to move sexual energy abundantly and freely, this will take you into a state of a full body orgasm that can actually last for minutes, for hours, for sometimes for days. This is a state of a very blissful, full body vibrating in the state of just orgasmic, erotic trance.
It really is possible, isn't it? Like, I know I've wandered around in my kitchen and just felt like I was in like orgasmic bliss just making a smoothie in the morning. It really is possible.
Definitely. Our bodies are amazing. What our bodies can do, the sensations that, you know, that we can feel, the amount of pleasure we can feel in our bodies is just amazing. And we don't know because nobody tells us. Nobody teaches you that, you know, to really feel your body and to really experience that, yeah, that pleasure as you're walking around the house, as you're, yeah, making your breakfast, making your smoothie, you can feel your body, and it can feel absolutely ecstatic and blissful and so pleasurable.
Awesome. Do you want to share the other breathing exercise, or do you feel like we might confuse people and we should move on to the next step?
I don't want to confuse anybody. I feel like once this practice is used consistently, it can give you amazing results. So I there's a lot of breathing techniques that I teach. Mm-hmm. But instead of knowing a lot of different techniques, I would recommend taking one and really perfecting it and using it a lot until you are very comfortable with it and you really get great results. And then you can start introducing other techniques as well.
I've been wanting to do breath work in my morning meditation for a while, but I haven't found any I really liked. They all seemed a bit stagnant, like there were pauses and you had to hold your breath for a while and things like that. But this one is now it. Thank you. I'm so excited. Yeah. Everyone watch out. I'm going to be walking around in just orgasmic waves from now on. So
yeah, go for it, girl.
All right. So wait, that was just only step number two, wasn't it? So we're up to step number three.
Yes. Step number three is masturbation coaching. So this is where I
feel like some people just went, you what? Yeah. Yes, I'm excited.
Yes, so and this is actually probably one of the biggest steps, because the way we self-pleasure, the way we self-touch really wires our bodies to the way we have sex, to the way we have our sexual partners experiences. So self-touch and self-pleasure is the most basic form of a sexual experience. That's why it is so important. And again, the way we experience self-touch in our society is very limited. We usually just go for the genitals straight away. We know certain strokes that we started using usually when we were kids or teenagers. And then our self-pleasure routine doesn't really change much over the years. Many people self-pleasure now exactly the same way they did 10 years ago. So there isn't much of a variation. There isn't much of a curiosity or exploration happening there. And the thing is, an entire body is an erogenous zone. And we have an amazing potential for pleasure from, you know, our toes to the top of our head. We can experience so much in our bodies. So I actually teach my clients to use rituals in self-pleasuring. So I ask them to set an intention first. And, you know, intention can be very, very personal and can be, you know, anything from to really connect with the pleasure in my chest to maybe for men last without coming for 20 minutes, or to have a complete, to have a sexual experience free from any fantasy or porn, just being fully present and mindful of the pleasure and all the physical experience in the body, or anything else, exploring pleasure, you know, in my face, exploring like light, you know, feather light touch or being with the genitals. Or there's so many different ways that intentions that we can set for our self-pleasuring. But this is important because your intention is like a bridge between now and the future. So you're consciously, by setting an intention, you're creating your experience. You don't just go for whatever happens and maybe I'll have a good experience. But, you know, in many cases, we kind of have disappointing sexual experiences. The orgasm, which we really, really want so much, in many cases, is like, is that it? Kind of an experience. Many people feel like that. When you have an intention, you can change that. You can consciously create an experience you're going to have. So this is why intention is important. Then I will ask my clients to do a bit of a full body movement in order to wake up the awareness and sensitivity in the whole body. So this can be through a few moments of dancing or full body shaking or some yoga, some stretches, anything that works for you, as long as you're moving your entire body and feeling your entire body, bringing awareness and sensation into your entire body. And this is what happens when you move your whole body. You start to feel your whole body much more. Mm-hmm. So this is where we sort of wake up the sensations and the pleasure and the awareness in the entire body. Then I would ask my clients to do some conscious breathing. So use any breathing technique that they prefer. It can be as simple as just taking few deep belly breaths. Belly breaths are amazing in a way that they really wake up our bodies. You know, when most of our society are shallow chest breathers, so we only take those little shallow breaths into the chest. That doesn't bring a lot of oxygen into your body, as opposed to if you're taking deep belly breaths, when you take a lot of oxygen in, and that oxygen travels through your blood, you know, with your blood to all your organs, all your body parts, and your body feels amazing. After a few minutes of belly breathing, there is a huge difference in the way we experience our bodies. So this is that's why breath is so important. And then once you start your sexual touch, then that breath will actually carry your sexual pleasure through your entire body. So yeah, so conscious breath is so important. Then the next step, I would recommend doing a bit of a self-massage, full body self-massage. So really caressing your entire body, massaging your entire body, exploring pleasure in your entire body, having that sort of curious mindset about it. You know, what does it feel like if I like tickle the back of my neck or stroke my hair or caress my face or massage my belly or tickle my feet? Mm-hmm. We're looking for pleasure here, and it's not just in the genitals, it's everywhere. So we're looking for massaging the whole body, giving yourself like a very loving full body massage. And then once that's done, I would recommend going for genital touch, if that's something that, you know, if that's where you want to take your self-pleasuring practice. And I would definitely say do this slowly and consciously. So don't go for the old tested same strokes again that you've done so many times before. Maybe, you know, use your non-dominant hand. So if you always stroke yourself with your right hand, try your left hand and see how that works. And yeah, embrace that curiosity. Try different things, try different strokes, you know, try using different lubricants. I really recommend coconut oil. Yes, coconut oil is an amazing way to bring more sensation, you know, into our genitals, especially that we have, you know, there's a lot of sensitivity in the genitals, and so usually using dry hands doesn't bring us as much pleasure as using coconut oil or any other oil that, you know, that we prefer. But coconut oil is amazing because it's natural, because there's no chemicals in it, because it's actually moisturizing, it's anti-inflammatory, so it's edible, so it's good for your skin, you know. Like you're not gonna absorb any nastiness from any sort of chemically based lubricant.
I feel like we could do a whole podcast just on the benefits of coconut oil. I love coconut oil.
Yeah, definitely. It's really good.
That sounds like a beautiful self-pleasure practice. Is there more after that? Like, what is there anything else? Or yeah,
for the masturbation coaching, for the third step.
After you get to the genital touch, what, and I like put my hands down there just to make sure you understood what I was talking about for all of you listeners on iTunes. After you get to the genital touch, then is there anything else after that?
Integration time. Yeah. Definitely. So once you've been touching your genitals, whether you bring yourself to orgasm or not, this is not the goal of the self-pleasuring practice, but it definitely can include orgasm or a few. But after you're done with the genital touch, I would say give yourself at least a few minutes of just an integration time, which means just lying down, completely relaxed, just feeling and sensing and absorbing the entire experience, experiencing your whole body, because at that stage your body will feel amazing, so alive, full of that vibrant energy, full of that erotic pleasure, with the, you know, beautiful hormones of pleasure, serotonin and oxytocin just flowing through your whole body, just absorbing that, allowing yourself to take that in. Because this is when, during that integration time, this is when your body is actually learning from this experience. Your nervous system is creating new neural connections in order to learn from it so that you can go deeper next time. Yeah. So this is when your body goes, okay, I can do this again. I know how to experience that kind of deep level of pleasure now. And next time, okay, I can get even better at this.
Yeah.
So kind of, if you just get up straight away, your body kind of forgets what it just been through. Giving yourself a few minutes of integration helps your body to install the experience.
Great. Yeah. I do that. I put my hands on my yoni and I just like sit there and in gratitude and just bliss.
Yeah.
So nice.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Exactly.
Awesome.
That's what we need.
All right. So, and then do you do like so we set an intention at the beginning, and I know there's the integration, but do you do anything to then close that experience after the integration?
No, the integration is the closing for me.
Yeah.
So once it all feels finished and complete, then I either fall asleep or get up and do anything else.
Beautiful. Awesome.
But that's the conclusion of the ritual. Yeah.
Wonderful. And the fourth step to becoming a legendary lover. I'm so loving this. My God, this is amazing. I can feel everyone being excited about it as well.
Thank you. It is such passion of mine to share this work and to help people have amazing sexual experiences. It's so important. Okay, yeah. So the fourth step is enjoy receiving. So it's all about learning to receive pleasure, receive touch. And this is again a big topic, because we, in many cases, we don't actually know what it is that we want to receive. And in order to really receive fully, you need to be able to know what it is that you want so that you can ask for it, so that then you can receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there is a room for spontaneity and just flowing with whatever happens. But in many cases, when we just flow like that on a constant basis, we don't quite get exactly what we want. So the receiving step is all about connecting to your desires and wants, expressing them, learning to express them without shame or without guilt or without embarrassment, and being able to receive that touch with full pleasure and full enjoyment. And this is so huge, because we don't usually talk about sex or during sex. We don't express these things. And so there's a lot of guessing and assuming in sex, you know. So we might go, oh, well, this worked for my previous partner, so this should work for, you know, for him or for her as well. It doesn't always work like that. We are all different. We have all different needs and wants and desires when it comes to sex. So being able to communicate that across and give feedback to your partner is so important and so helpful. Because just imagine that you're giving touch to somebody and they're just lying there, and you don't quite know, are they enjoying it? Are they loving it? Are they not really loving it? You know, and if you just got a bit of a clear indication from them, oh, honey, that feels good, but if you just touch me a little bit lighter or a little bit gentler or a bit slower or a little bit more over there, or if you just use your entire hand, not just your fingers, or if you just, you know, could just hold me now, or, you know, if you knew exactly how to give pleasure to your partner, wouldn't you go, yes, perfect. I can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's
why this, yeah. So receiving is so important.
And then the fifth step?
Yes, it's about giving pleasure. So yeah, so in fourth step you receive, it's all about learning how to receive guilt-free and with full gratitude and enjoyment and full presence. And yeah, in the next step you learn how to give. And this is actually, this step in my system is geared towards men because the book is, was, well, the system, the methodology was created for men. So this is, in this step I actually explore what it is that women actually want and how to give it to them.
Women listening, your partners, yeah, I recommend that you get them to buy this book.
Exactly. Yeah, because in order to create a deeply magical experience for a woman, a man has to give her three things. He has to first of all, show up with full presence. So really be mindful, be in the experience right there, without getting distracted, without, you know, getting too absorbed in his own pleasure, or maybe even escaping to a fantasy or a, you know, any sort of porn images in his mind. That's not being present. Women absolutely thrive in the experience of being held by that full masculine presence and consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so I teach men how to offer that to their partners. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I teach men how to help and support their women to surrender. So surrender is a big aspect of our sexual experience, but I don't mean surrendering to the other person. I mean more than that. I mean surrendering to the experience. Mm. So being, allowing yourself to be fully immersed in the experience without a thought about the world in your head, without, you know, not planning your to-do list, not worrying about how you look like in, you know, during sex, if you're, you know, if your tummy is sticking out, or if you're, I don't know, having this unattractive face right now as you're doing whatever. It's, you know, it's like, even regardless of whether we think about something completely unrelated to sex, or even if we are in our head about the sexual experience, worrying and stressing about, you know, the performance or about the, whether we're going to orgasm or not, etc., we are still stuck in the head. And this is not surrendering to the experience. This is not being present in the experience. Mm-hmm. So a woman needs to feel really seen and loved and respected and appreciated in her feminine essence in order to allow herself to drop into that experience of a full surrender. Yeah. But the thing is, for a woman to orgasm, when a woman orgasms, the center of her brain responsible for control shuts down. And it will not shut down if she is like vigilant and fully, you know, in control or thinking and worrying all the time. So this is important.
Yeah.
And then the third thing I almost forgot. The third thing that women really, really want from a man is to have an emotional connection. And this can be, so this is where you actually bring that magical dimension to sex. So it's not just a physical experience where the genitals are touching, which, you know, and you know, and genitals are meeting, which is a pleasurable experience. But in order to make it a very nurturing and satisfying and deeply profound experience, we need to have that magical emotional component to it. We have to have open hearts and we have to connect emotionally with each other. And this can happen whether you are with your wife of 50 years or whether you are with a one-night stand. So you don't have to be in a full and committed relationship in order to have sex which is connected emotionally. All we need to do is we need to open our hearts. We need to be able to express something from our hearts. Even telling your partner how beautiful she is and how you enjoy being with her and how much you enjoy what she's doing and how she's holding you and how the way she's touching you and you love touching her skin, etc. It's like we are opening up. We're having more than just that genitally based experience. If there is something more emotional that we can express to each other, you know, if there's, you know, that loving component or that deep joy and excitement or gratitude of being together, and we can express that, you know, before sex or during sex, it will give sex that more profound, more ecstatic, more satisfying level and dimension.
Yeah, awesome. And the sixth step?
Okay, so the sixth step, so this is where we are taking sex out of the bedroom, and we are looking at living an ecstatic life. So sixth step is about really discovering our full sexual and orgasmic potential. So this is, here's again, there's a variety of things I talk about. This is what I teach men how to have, how to be multi-orgasmic and how to have non-ejaculatory orgasms. I teach, you know, I teach my clients how to experience sex with nature, in nature and with nature. So this is something, this is something we've been doing for thousands of years, but in the modern world, with many people have forgotten about it. We used to, you know, men used to thrust into the earth. We used to hug trees and make love to the sound, and we used to immerse our bodies in ocean and just immerse ourselves in that, you know, in that natural element. You know, we used to massage the earth with our feet, and we used to kiss flowers, etc. We used to see the nature and the earth as a lover. So this is something that can really enrich our sexual experience, whether it is about, you know, masturbating in your backyard, or having a deeply connected experience with a partner in a waterfall, or offering your you know, circulating your sexual energy in during full moon, you know, bringing that natural earth aspect into our sex lives really, you know, really helps us to enrich the, you know, our sex lives.
I love that.
The fact of circulating sexual energy in our lives means that we can channel that energy into any other activity, into our work, into our hobbies, into our passions, into our health, into our fitness goals, or anything like that. So it's not just, sexual energy shouldn't be just something we experience in the bedroom. It should be something that we cultivate and move and experience throughout our lives, in our everyday experience.
Yes, that is so good. I recently separated from my partner, and so one of my biggest intentions for this time of my life is to have an intimate relationship with the divine, and I see that as having an intimate relationship with nature. And I'm not gonna go and, like, you know, actually insert a tree inside of me or something like that, but that's not going to happen. But to be able to walk through nature and feel the ecstasy of that energy running through my body, and to just feel as I touch myself that I am, like, that, like, the divine is there with me, and that this is a powerful way of connecting with the divine, rather than, you know, the religious, like, this is not good and not allowed. But a beautiful opening to love and that energy that runs through all of us. So I love that.
That's amazing. Living those ecstatic lives, you know, outside of just having those quick, sharp, orgasmic experiences in the bedroom, but actually, allowing our lives to be ecstatic.
Helena, we have gone actually over time because I wanted to hear everything you've got to say.
Sorry.
No, it was amazing. Do not ever apologize for that. Can you tell people how they can come find you? Because I bet, just like me, they want to know more. How can they get the book, and how can they come and find you?
Yes. So the book, this is the book, is available from my website, helenanista.com.au. It's also available from Amazon in a Kindle version and paperback version, and it's also on iBooks.
So that was helenanista.com.au. So helenanista.com.au. And you can find her book Legendary Lover on Amazon, Kindle, and
on iBooks as well.
iBooks, yeah, that is awesome. And I'm sure you can come and find her on Facebook too. How can they find you there?
Yeah, so my social media handles is Helenanista, HelenaNista.
Oh, amazing. You have been so legendary of a guest, my darling. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm so excited because Helena and I now get to go over to the secret episode, which is juicy behind the scenes stuff every week. But I get to now ask her about her self-pleasure practice. How incredible is that? I'm sure that this is going to be an incredible secret episode. So if you would like to listen, please go to aninspiredlife.com.au/secret to get access to the behind the scenes on Helena's life. Her morning routines, evening routines, rituals, all that sort of stuff. I'm really excited to share that with you. And if you would like to join the conversation so that you can ask Helena and I some questions or give us your feedback, tell us how it felt when you did that breathing exercise or when you went out in nature and did that breathing exercise, you can come to facebook.com/groups/lightworkersrising and you can tell us, find Helena and I, find the podcast and join the conversation below so that you are in a group amongst other lightworkers and people who are wanting to be the best versions of themselves. And you can come and tell us about your experience after you've listened to this podcast. And lastly, please, if you have enjoyed this and found value in this, and honestly, I feel like maybe pinch yourself if you didn't because this has been incredible. Thank you, Helena. Then please do share this because there are probably men and women out there who are on your social media right now and they don't have a clue that there is whole body orgasms even available to them or this ecstatic bliss in their life that is available to them. So if you share on your social media, you can make a difference to the people that you're connected with. And you can also rate and review on iTunes so that more people can find out about it that way as well. Thank you again, Helena. Thank you everyone for listening. And please join us on the secret episode and inspiredlife.com.au/secret. Bye for now.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I've put on there and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions from how to make your breakup the best thing that ever happened to you to the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.